All right. Well, welcome. We are so glad you are all here today. I just want to thank all the people I asked for prayer for, and I just really appreciate your prayers. This is awesome. Pastor asked me if I wanted to share a message, and to tell you the truth, God's been dealing with me on something for 3 years. And it started long 3 years ago where I just said, you know what, God, I want to fall in love with you more. I just want to not be so selfish in my prayers, you know, and just say what we need. I want to say, hey, what do you want me to do today? You know, and think about you first. And so I thought, God, just teach me how to fall in love with you more. And in the midst of this, in the last 3 years, he's revealed himself in a way that then it just made me see that he's saying, start taking up your sword of what I've done for you. And so we're going to look today, and I'm going to start off, and I'm just going to kind of lay a foundation so you can see what God has done for us, okay? So when we look at a world, we live in a fallen world. And we see every day that the world is full of sin, sickness, and it tries to separate us from who our God is and who he created us to be. And so because of that sin, we see a lot of evil out in the world. It's been loosened just, I don't know, exponentially, just recently, you know, in the last, I would say, 10, 15 years, there's just been such a change. I used to always wonder, how is that scripture, good will be called evil and evil will be called good? I used to go, how is that even possible? But now you see where good is called evil and evil is called good. And so you can see that the word is coming alive and that we do live in this world. There's, you know, we all are battling health issues. We have loss and unforgiveness in our life. We have loneliness, poor self-image. There's so many things. You might have been one who faced abuse, physically, mentally, emotionally. There's mental illness. There's darkness, the depression. The spirit of anxiety has just been loosened on the earth. And it's all due to the fall of man and sin entering in. And the one thing I want you to realize is that this message is to having God saying, now I want you to tune in, I want you to listen. I want you to open your hearts to understand and comprehend so that then you can act on what I'm going to share with you today. And what he's saying is, listen to this. You do not need to live in bondage of the curse of the fall of man. Jesus came 2,000 years ago, and he shed his perfect blood to give us a new life. Thank you. And that new life has said it's defeated the old life, the old sin nature, the devil, the sin, the eternal separation from him. And so he has given us these, the devil puts obstacles, but he said, I've already, just like that scripture Scarlett used, I've already overcome every obstacle that you are facing in your life right now.
Amen.
I've overcome the world. So Jesus took all our sickness, all our sin, all our diseases on the cross. He paid the penalty. He took them on himself so that we don't have to take them. He rose in victory. Satan and the devil couldn't defeat him. The grave couldn't defeat him. Hell couldn't defeat him because he had that perfect blood. So he rose in victory after he paid our penalty. And so I want to show this scripture in Colossians 2. And it's 13 and 15, and it just explains what I've been talking about. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature. It was not cut away yet. But then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us. And he took it and nailed it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. That is what Jesus has done for us. God wants you to see you are not the victim. You are not defeated. You are the victor. And the blood of Jesus paid the price for that. So we are going to be looking at seeing how we are not defenseless and how God has given us this spiritual armor. It is a spiritual armor. It's not a physical armor, but it's very similar to a physical armor. He always gives us pictures to make things clearer, and I love that. So what I want you to see, you're going to probably have the whole armor in the shortest time you've ever heard it, okay? But I want you to see that you're going to see that Jesus has given himself as our protector in every piece of this armor. Jesus is in every one of them. Okay, so let's read Ephesians 6, 10 through 14. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So thank goodness we don't have to rely on our strength. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realm. This is critical right here, just that one little part. What is it saying? Flesh and blood is not our enemy. We look at people and the evil things or the mean things that they do, and we look at them as the enemy. But God looks at them as, those are my people, I love them, they're my creation. And he's saying, it's the spirit behind them that you have to attack. And so I really want that to come to resonate in our hearts, is that God loves people, but he doesn't love the spirit behind, okay? What evil comes out of it. It is the principalities and powers of darkness and the devil who is our enemy. And that's who we need to fight against. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that in the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now, when we look at a belt, it holds up our pants. But where is it located? Oopsie. Uh-oh. Okay, where is it located? It's located on the core of us, the core of our body. Thank you, Jeff. Didn't mean to have such a good kick. I'll put it there. It's located on the core of our body. The core is your strongest point. That's where you get your strength from. And God is saying, I want you to take, the belt of truth is the word of God. I want you to take my truth, the word, and make it the foundation and the core of your whole life. Because without it, you can't be strong. Without it, you won't have a good foundation. So we need to take the core of the word of God. Now, something I'm going to share with you first before I get into all this, because I said Jesus shows himself in every piece. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Then in verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten God, grace and truth. And so we see Jesus became the Word in the flesh. So he is saying that the Word of God is Jesus. It is God. That's why this book is different from every other book in the whole world, because it's living.
Yes.
It is alive. And so it has power. So he's saying, put me in the core of your life, my words, my thoughts, my heart, everything I've done for you. Let it be your anchor. Let it be your foundation of your life. Okay, so that is the belt of truth. I love that one. Then, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, Ephesians 6, 14. The breastplate, what does it do? It guards our heart. God knows our heart gets wounded. We get stomped on, we get beat up, and our heart gets emotionally hurt. And we see a lot of times, even in our heart, we see our ugliness. We see our pain and just our sin, and it can grieve us. And that's what the accuser is always doing. He's always saying, you're a sinner, you're not perfect, you're terrible, you're bad. You know, and he wants to put us down. So Jesus came and he says, I'm going to give you the breastplate of righteousness. And righteousness means his perfection, his right standing. He never sinned. So he says, I give you my righteousness to guard your heart. Don't look at what you do, because you're going to be grieved. Look at what I've done. I've taken your sin already away. So I'm giving you my righteousness to put on. So it's a different mentality. You have to think differently, because he's guarding our heart. He's saying, don't believe the lies. No, you're not a liar. No, you're not a thief. No, you're not a bully. Whatever it is, that's not who you are. And I want to say, devil always wants us to identify with our sin as who we are. Our sin is not who we are. Jesus came, and it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he has become a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has begun. So there is this distinction that the blood of Jesus has given us. He's taken our sin on him, so he's wiped it out for us. So when we come to Jesus, that sin, God, forgive me of my sin, it's wiped out. It doesn't have power over us anymore, and he puts the robe of his righteousness on us, and he says, I see you as perfect. It's a new life. But now we're battling this flesh, our mind, our will, our emotions, that want to tell us different things, you know, and say, we can get angry, we get offended, we want to be unforgiving, we want, you know, all this stuff, and we see ugliness. But God is saying, don't identify with the ugliness. That's your old nature. I have given you new life. Remember, the old has passed away. The new life has begun. Amen. And that's what we need to cling on to. So we have to decide, which life do I want to live in? Do I want to live in the person I am, or do I want to live in the person God created me to be and who he says I am? Amen. That's a new life. All right? So we are not just a better person. God made us brand new. All right, then we're going to go to Ephesians 6:15. With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. When you receive the good news of Jesus Christ, God is saying you need to protect your feet, because those feet are going to take you places, and you need to be ready with a testimony of my goodness. I want you ready to express and share who I am, what I've done. All right? And so in Revelation 12:10-11, it says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down. He is accusing before our God day and night. But they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when they faced death. We need to have our feet ready, so ready that we know what the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ has really done for us, that blood of Jesus has set us free, that we need to share that with other people wherever our feet take us. We need to have that testimony that the blood of Jesus has set me free. The blood of Jesus is bigger than this situation. He's got the answer. Jesus is my answer. Amen. So, they overcame with the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We need to acknowledge God. We need to start speaking out who God is. Now, go on to Ephesians 6:16. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith, which is able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield of faith, his shield of faith. That faith takes trust in who God is. And right in the beginning, God gave each one of us a measure of faith so that we could accept him and realize who he was. So we all have that measure. But then God is saying, don't just stay there, grow in your faith. And he even tells us how to do that, is that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So we need to hear God's truth, otherwise we're going to continue to believe God's lies. So we need to start taking hold of the truth of who God is And that is going to raise faith up inside of us. Now, something I see too is that I don't look at the shield as like this big metal shield. Do you know what I see it as? A blood. Blood. I see the blood of Jesus as my shield. And the reason I see this is something Pastor said weeks ago, just during offering. And he said, when the Israelites were being delivered by Moses from being in bondage for 430 years, the 10 plagues came. And the last plague for them to get set free from the Pharaoh of Egypt was they all had to put the blood on the doorpost. Otherwise, the firstborn of that household would die. So if you were the firstborn, you would be definitely saying, get that blood up there, okay? But if they didn't have the blood, they did die. So that blood they put on the doorpost, and it was by the unblemished lamb that they had to kill. Well, Jesus is our lamb. He was unblemished. He was actually perfect. And he shed his blood for us. And so when they put it up there, the angel of death couldn't enter in and kill anybody. It had to pass over them. When we put the blood of Jesus around us, Satan doesn't have the right to come in. Satan doesn't have the right to put sickness on us. Satan doesn't have a right to mess with our mind. Satan doesn't have a right. And we need to put it on the blood post of our households too. But I see the shield as the blood of Jesus and saying, nope, curse, sin, devil, you can't come in. You can't pass over into our household. So that's powerful. All right. Then I want to show you one other thing that when we have faith, what it does. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, we also constantly thank God that when we received the word of God, we didn't receive it as the word of men, but we received it for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. God's word, as we accept it and speak it out, okay, we speak it out, it builds faith, right? But as we speak it out, it also is performing a work inside of us. His word performs a work. And I'm going to give an explanation to this. And I know I've given this analogy before, but it was pretty major in my life. For 30 years, I had a spirit of fear. And whenever it got dark out, I didn't want to go outside by myself. I can remember as a kid, I used to have to take the dog out. I didn't even want to be with that dog, man. I didn't feel like he was going to even keep me safe, you know? And it was a huge German Shepherd. But I always had fear. They told me to go in the basement by myself and go get something. I had fear. When I lived with Brad the first couple years, he would leave and he wouldn't be home and it would be dark out and I would hear squeaking and stuff. I would get paralyzed with fear and I would have to quote scripture to get unfrozen. You have given your angels charge over me to guard and protect me in all my ways. You haven't given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, sound mind. Your perfect love casts out all fear. I choose your love. And then I would be able to move again. But I used the word. Now, what God showed me is that since I was, I remember, 4 years old, I had that fear. It was like a root system that had grown, and it had grown deep. The roots were intertwined. They were just all the way down inside of me. But as I started to use the word, those roots loosened up, and they lost their power. And they started drying up, and they started leaving. I can remember being in Greece, walking with Brad, and saying to him, other people don't live like this. I don't have to live like this. And we prayed together, and I got delivered of that spirit of fear.
Amen.
Now, I want you to know, fear attacks me. But you know what? Immediately, forgive me, God, not accepting that fear. I choose your love, and that fear has to go. I just bind you, fear, in Jesus' name. I'm not accepting you.
Yes.
Okay? It doesn't mean you don't get attacked again, but you know how to get rid of it. You use the word.
Amen.
So that's an important part. So then we're going to go on. Ephesians 6:17 says, and take up the helmet of salvation. And you see the helmet and how it protects the mind. Even your pretty face on this one. Okay? But the helmet of truth is there to protect our mind. Our mind usually will dictate what we believe, our thoughts, our thinking. And this is what Jesus says. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Well, God's salvation is perfect. It is good. And God wants us to know what that salvation is, what it really means in our life. It doesn't mean we just get to go to heaven. It means for now, Satan has been bound. The devil, you know, he doesn't have that power and authority over us anymore. We're a brand new creation. We're a child of the Most High God. Satan can't mess with us anymore, but we let him because we don't realize what we have in our salvation. Sickness and disease has been defeated, but we don't realize that, and we think, oh, cold season, I always get it. You know what I mean? And we accept it. We keep accepting what the devil is giving instead of accepting what Jesus has given us already. And that's why he wants us to transform our thinking, get to know who he is, fall in love with him, and see everything he has given us and done for us. It's phenomenal. It's mind-blowing. I just think, here I am, 65. I've been a Christian, I know, since I was 4 years old. So, what, 61 years? And I feel like, God, I'm just getting this now. I've been a Christian for so long, and I'm just getting this revelation now. And he's saying, don't worry about the past. Past is gone. Right, right now, you can make a difference.
Amen.
Right now, I can move. And so this is the journey I'm excited to go on with you, that we are like-minded, saying, I am tired of accepting what the devil keeps throwing at us, and we want to see people set free. We want our nation, our family, our community, our children, our grandchildren, not to be bound by the curse, because he's a defeated foe already. Why are we letting him rule and reign? We have authority through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
So, the last one. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when you think of this, this is the only weapon, a sword, that's offensive. All these other ones are to protect us, to guard us, you know, hold things together. This is a weapon. So really, this is a weapon.
Yes. Thank you.
That's why it's different from any other book. It's living. It's alive. So I want you to see why we need to know the word, but use the word. And when we use the word, you know what we have to do? We actually have to speak it out loud. We need to declare it to the foundations and the atmosphere, all right? Because the devil is our enemy, all right? The devil can't hear what you're thinking, but he can hear what you're saying. And we need to use our authority. So Jesus was our greatest example in Matthew 4. After he was water baptized, he knew he was going to be starting his ministry on the earth. So he went for 40 days up into the wilderness to fast and pray and just to be with his Father God and prepare his heart for what was coming. On the 40th day, guess who shows up? The devil, when he knows he's hungry, he knows he's in a weakened state, and he comes to him and then he taunts him. And he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones right here to turn into bread. Aren't you hungry? I'm really thinking about you. You know, that's how the devil works. He tries to deceive us and taunt us. And Jesus responds to him, and he says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So what did he use? His weapon. The word.
Amen.
All right. So then he takes them up on a pinnacle of the temple, and he says to them, if you are the Son of God, throw yourselves down, because it is written, he will give his angels charge over you so that you won't even hurt your foot. Jesus responds to him, you shall not put the Lord your God to test, and that is written too. And so we don't test God, all right? So we need to know our word. Then he takes him, and he takes him to one of the highest mountains so that he can see all the kingdoms of the world. And he says to him, all these things belong to me, all these kingdoms and their glory. But if you fall down and worship me, I'll give them all back to you. Okay, Satan got all the world. He got the whole world in the sin. When we sinned, we gave our authority and the deed of the earth to the devil. But when Jesus came, he took the deed back for us.
Yes.
So now devil is not in authority over the world unless we give him that. And so he's saying, if you just fall down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. And this is what Jesus says. It is written, Satan, be gone. For you shall worship only the Lord your God and serve only him. God's word is our weapon. God's word is our treasure. It is so valuable beyond what we can even hope, think, or imagine. And it will defeat the attacks of the enemy. But I'll tell you, it's hard because, you know, I've had people say to me, I don't really know a whole lot of the word. You know? And that's okay. If you have a problem, find scriptures like I did with fear and stand on those and start to speak them out and declare them. Because what? Faith comes by hearing the word. So that is going to have a double-edged sword. It's going to work inside and perform a work inside of me as I speak it out. But it's also going to be released into the atmosphere where the devil knows that he hasn't. And to tell you the truth, at first, I didn't believe it. I was just saying it because in my head, I know this is what I should do. And that's what a lot of people say. It just feels weird. It feels funny because it's like, you know, is this really working? But as we keep doing it, that's when the transformation, that's where we're renewing our mind. And God, I don't know how he does it, but he reprograms us. He starts to change us from the inside out because his word is performing this work. I can't tell you how fear left my life except for I hung on to God and his word.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, my attitude changed, my heart changed, and I'm like, I don't have to live like this anymore, you know? So I can even kill spiders now. I mean, you know, I used to be afraid of spiders and stuff. So I just want you to know God is, his word is amazing. So now we're just going to take a real quick glance back at the armor, and now you're going to see every piece has the word in it. When we see the belt of truth, we see it's the core of our life. The word of God has got to be the core of our life. When he reveals his righteousness, we see that in the blood of Jesus, through the word of God, he's taken everything. He has given us his right standing. Our sin has been diminished. Don't hold on to your sin as who you are. Okay? The word of peace that comes out of our mouth, where does it come from? It comes from the word and what Jesus has done. All right? Putting the word of God builds our faith so that it protects us from the lies of the devil, and it also attacks the devil. The devil has to bow his knee to the word. He can't fight against Jesus. Jesus defeated him. He
Amen.
Knows it. The word of God transforms our mind and our wrong thinking so that we can walk in our salvation. free from bondage, free from the devil, free from sin, free from sickness, and eternal death and separation from God. Our God is amazing. We need to get a revelation of the power and the love he has for us, what he's really done. When you think about what Jesus has really done, it says in, I think it's Isaiah 52:13, that his body was so marred that he didn't even look like a man. And then you hear that scripture, and this is what it says. And it says that he himself bore our sins on his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. For by his wounds we were healed. The greatest misconception a lot of Christians in the world have is that God puts sickness on people. Why would Jesus take every sickness, cancer and diabetes and Alzheimer's and all these things? Why would he take those, pay the price for them, and then say, oh, it wasn't enough, I'm going to put it back on you? No, it doesn't work that way. He's defeated them. We're the ones who have opened up the door and allowed them in our lives. It's, you know, and I realize that, you know, in our world we have toxins, there's metals, there's bad foods that we eat and stuff like that. But there's even a scripture for that one. No deadly thing shall harm you. You can drink poison. Now, don't test God, okay? And it will not harm you. We got to start speaking life, yes, to our bodies. In Romans 8:11, it says, the same spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you and gives life to your mortal body. So you know what I do? I thank you, God, for that life of God going in my arteries, my veins, my valves, my brain, my nerves. I speak to every part of my body, because as I get older, I've noticed my body isn't as in best a shape, okay? I've abused it a little. So now I need to combat my abuse that he's already taken on the cross and realize I'm loosening the life of God in me. My body has to start accepting it and receiving it and walking in it. Here's another one. Jesus in John 10:10 says, the thief will come in order to kill, steal, and destroy. The thief is the devil. We need to determine and see that God is a good God. The devil is the bad devil. The thief is the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But this is what Jesus said. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly, to the full, that it overflows. The devil is out to steal your life, your family, your health, everything, your finances. And he's going to come at you in multiple ways. But Jesus, and it's the scripture, same scripture Scarlett had. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. You can have peace in the midst of the attack of the devil because you know who your God is and what he's done, that he is my answer. I don't know how the answer is going to come about, but God, I know you are the answer. And I'm putting my trust in you, and I'm going to declare who you are. I'm not going to focus on the problem, because this is what he says. Take courage. I have overcome the world. We need to see we serve an overcoming, powerful God. We need to declare, and that's what we're going to practice today too, is we are going to declare the power of who God is. We're going to declare his word out. And it may seem funny at first. And I know some of you might be shy at first. But we got to get over our shyness. We got to start doing, because I choose to want to live in your new life that you've given me. I am tired of living in my old sinful nature. I am tired of seeing people get beat up, sickness being poured out on people. I'm tired of seeing my, you know, family robbed of the good things God really has for him. He says, I have good for you, not evil, plans for a future and a hope. So we, together, just think, it says where two or more agree in my name, it is done.
Amen.
We need to start standing together against that. We're the victors, we're not the victims. We are above, not below. Lord, we just have to see that we're not defenseless, and we're definitely not created to be the victims. The greater one is in us. The Holy Spirit is our helper and our guide, our comforter. Our healer and the Almighty loving Father is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. In fact, he says he goes before us, but yet he's going to stay with us, that we don't have to fear or be dismayed. He has given his angels charge over us. We need to take up our sword, declare the truth that you can't have my children. God, you gave me those kids and I've dedicated them to you. And Lord, you have good for them. And I just bind Satan from trying to rob anything you have for them. I bind him up in the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. You know, we need to take back the airwaves, our loved ones, our families, our minds, our finances. So let's stand together. And we're going to have a little declaration here. And we're going to say it together. And we're going to be bold. All right. You guys ready? Here we go. I am a child of the Most High God. I have been forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness by the precious blood of Jesus. Jesus, you have taken my place and set me free. I have overcome the world. You have delivered me from the domain of darkness and transferred me into the kingdom of your beloved Son. I am strengthened with power through your Spirit in my inner man. I am not alone. God, you are for me, not against me. Your plans for me are for good and not evil. So I take up my sword, the Word of God, and release your healing power in my life. Complete the work you have begun in me, Lord Jesus. That is all just scripture. And that is that's just such a tiny little bit. Those are maybe 6-8 scriptures. Look at this Bible.
Yes.
It's full of God's promises, of who we are, what he's done. So let's just take a moment and just worship him. And I know it's going to be uncomfortable, but you know what? Let's just start with a big clap and then just start talking and praising God, okay? Lord, we just praise you and thank you for who you are. There is none like you, Lord. God, I just thank you that you love me and that you are there for me. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. That nothing is impossible with you, God. We just praise your mighty name. Thank you, Jesus, for that blood. Thank you, Father. We just praise your name. Glorify you, Lord. Thank you for who you are, Jesus. Lord, we do. We just choose to stand on your word. We choose to put on the armor that you've given us, Jesus, to put you on, to put our salvation on, to put our weapon and to put it to use, Lord. That people are not the enemy, that you are. We are against principalities and powers of darkness, and that darkness has been defeated. You triumphed over them in hell. And Satan doesn't have power. Lord, let that revelation come alive inside of us. Stir us up, Lord God. Help us to fall in love with who you are. Help us, our eyes, to stay focused on you and not the problem.
Yes.
Because you are our answer.
Thank you.
You are so worthy of our praise, so worthy of everything, Lord. We just thank you for such great love. And we just thank you for the hope that we have in you, Lord. And Father, when we are weak, you are strong. When we are overcome, you say, cry out to me, and I will deliver you, and I will send forth my word to heal you from your destruction. Thank you, God, that you've made a provision for everything. We just praise you and thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for your word. Let it come alive inside of us. In Jesus' name, amen.